journey to the cross continues for us because Jesus first took his journey to the cross for you and for you, for me. The triumphal entry. I just get excited about this. You know, sometimes we do it every year, right? How many years have we been doing this? Well, since we've been alive, right? We've been doing this. We celebrate the triumphal entry when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. They're waving the palm branches. They're throwing the palm branches in front, and he's coming into the old city, to city of Jerusalem, and we're hearing the praises. Oh, Hosanna, God in the highest, we praise you. And that's the beginning of Holy Week, and then we come to Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, the washing of the disciples' feet, and then we have Good Friday when he's crucified. Good Friday, why is it good? Because Jesus is good, and he accomplished his mission on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. Holy Saturday, and then we come to the Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate that at Easter. What a time in the life of the church and the life of us as followers of Christ to celebrate that together. So I get excited about the triumphal entry. Jesus is on his way into the city of Jerusalem. Just before he will go to the cross, let's take a look from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. You got your Bibles there. It's up on the screen here. It's also written in your bulletin, printed there. So let's take a look together. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, it says this: As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there. What? With her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowd answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Father, thank you for your words to us. This event that took place 2,000 years ago, because, Lord Jesus, you were on mission and you accomplished your mission because you loved us. And so help us, Holy Spirit, to see what you want us to see this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. So Jesus is fully in control of his own journey to the cross in the sense that he's omnipresent, but he's omniscient, all-knowing. That's a fancy theological term, omniscient, for meaning that he's all-knowing. So he knew that the donkey was there, and this message this morning isn't about the donkey. I've heard sermons preached about the donkey, and that's okay, because the donkey carried the Savior of the world to the people. If you're telling the story about the donkey, as long as you point to Jesus, then we're good with that. But he accomplished his mission. He said, hey, go untie this donkey. And then if somebody says, hey, what are you doing? That's kind of a New York accent or a Boston accent. What are you doing? Tell him the Lord needs it, and he'll let it go. He'll send it. He knew that. He knew that was coming. Nothing is accidental. Everything is intentional. The cross is not something that happens to Jesus. The cross is something that he walks toward. It's in front of him, and he's walking towards it. He's journeying toward that cross because he took that journey for you. Jesus shows humility in that he rides a donkey, becomes low. In other words, another way to say humility, he humbles himself. And Apostle Paul actually wrote about his humbleness, his humility, Philippians chapter 2. He said this, Apostle Paul said this, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so he humbled himself. He became humiliated, we could say, became low so that we might become high because of him accomplishing that for us. So earthly kings, when we're talking about earthly kings, there's kings. I think there was a no king celebration this last week. I don't know about that. I don't look at that stuff. But earthly kings, if we're talking about earthly kings demand. Jesus requests. Earthly kings take. Jesus borrows. Earthly kings ride war horses, white stallions. Jesus rides a beast of burden. Martin Luther once wrote that Christ rides no stallion, which is a symbol of war. He comes on a donkey, which is a symbol of peace, to show that he comes not to terrify, but to help them. This is the king who conquers not by force, but by grace. This is the king who fulfills Zechariah's prophecy. We see it coming alive in this text. Behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey. This day, this prophecy is being fulfilled before their very eyes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said this. He said, Jesus Christ is not a king who dominates by power, but one who rules from the cross. His humility is not weakness. It's the very shape of his reign. This same king comes to you this morning. He doesn't wait for you to ascend to him. He comes to you. He doesn't demand that you clean up your act first and then come to him. No, he comes to you first. He comes to you and invites you into a relationship with himself. This is the king who moves towards sinners, not away from them. So here in Jerusalem, he publicly reveals himself as the king, as a different kind of king. Not a conquering king, but it's a king who humbly comes and accomplishes a mission in his journey to the cross so that you, in your journey, would know, come to know Jesus. So Jesus redefined what it means to be a king. He did not come to conquer earthly kingdoms with violence, because that's what they thought. They thought they wanted a Messiah, anointed one who was talked about in the prophecies in the Old Testament. They wanted a conquering king who would come and conquer the Romans, because they were being oppressed by the Roman government, and so they wanted a conquering king who would do away with Rome so that they would be free. But he's a different kind of king. He didn't come to conquer the Romans. He came to win people to himself. This text challenges our assumptions about strength and leadership, showing us a Savior who leads with gentleness and humility and grace and love. Jesus intentionally chose a donkey to fulfill prophecy and reveal who he was, so the cry of the crowds . They cry, Hosanna, not necessarily knowing exactly what they're saying or what they mean by it. They think they know. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they knew that this Jesus is different. And so they wanted to welcome him into the city. They didn't fully understand who he was and what he had accomplished, what he came to accomplish. And understand that their king came to save them through sacrifice and not political revolution. So his entry into Jerusalem day was the fulfillment of prophecy and the promise of God to buy his people back. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies, and there's still more to come. Maybe it's just a time to plug that for now. I'll tell you more about it coming. The Sunday school, the adult Sunday school, I revealed it to them. So after Easter, a lot of people, maybe yourselves, maybe others that you know, are asking questions about this world is so crazy right now, and this culture is so goofy going on with the wars and the rumors of war. You know, is this the time where Jesus will come back again? Because he promised that he would come back a second time. So just after Easter, I'm going to preach a series of messages on the king is coming the second time. Save us now. That's what Hosanna means. Save us now, Lord. Hosanna. Save us now. They want someone to free them from Roman rule. Jesus comes as suffering Savior, the same city, the same crowd that are saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The same crowd soon, in a few days, would be the ones that are saying, crucify him! Is that maybe a crowd mentality? Is that what that's called? Peer pressure? Crowd mentality? Go along with what the others are doing? Maybe that's why Jesus from the cross says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Yet Jesus rides on because he came for this very purpose. He's on mission to accomplish what he came to do. And that was to die, but not to stay dead, to be raised 3 days later as our Savior and our Lord. Chad Bird on the Upside Down Kingdom writes, God hides his glory beneath opposite appearances, strength beneath weakness, victory beneath defeat, majesty beneath humility. Palm Sunday is the kingdom of God revealed in reverse. Jesus receives a tainted, so to speak, praise. It's warranted, but yet it's not. They don't fully understand what they're doing. He doesn't reject the crowd. He doesn't say, well, pooey on you guys. Doesn't reject them for misunderstanding him. He receives their worship. He receives it, knowing that he will save them in a way that they cannot yet imagine. Very soon, the text says the whole city was stirred. Whole city was stirred. You can imagine what's going on. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're worried about this king. He's going to cause division. The Romans are going to do something very bad to us if the people believe in him and follow him. The word stirred means shaken or agitated, disturbed. Yes, the whole city was disturbed. That's what Jesus does for those who don't quite understand who he is and why he came. They're disturbed. They're agitated. The question still echoes. We see it in this text. Still echoes. Here's the question. They're pondering this and who this is and why he came. And the question is this, very simple. Who is this? Who is this? Very similar to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the water, in the boat. Jesus is with them. Jesus is in front, sleeping on a cushion. The storm comes up. Jesus, wake up! Don't you care? We're going to die. Don't you care if we drown? And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? Here's the crowd's answer that day. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth. True, but not enough. True, but not enough. He's more than a prophet, more than a priest, more than a king, more than a teacher, more than a miracle worker. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. He's come to save His people from their sins. The text closes with this simple, profound declaration. And it answers the question, who is this? The text says it. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. That's the heart of Palm Sunday. That's why we gather and we do the branches. We shout the hosannas and we praise God for who He is and what He's done for us. That's why we gather as people in these kinds of places, in this local place of this church building. That's why we gather and lift up our voices and encourage one another and pray for it. That's why we gather. This is Jesus. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. It's not the donkey. It's not the branches. It's not the crowd. It's not the shouts. This is Jesus. There was a man named Daniel who had spent most of his life assuming that God was disappointed in him. He wasn't hostile toward faith, just numb to it. Church felt like a place for people who had their act together. He never felt like one of them, no. One Lent, a friend invited him to a simple midweek service. He went mostly to be polite. Sanctuary was quiet. The lights dim. The cross draped in purple. The pastor read from Philippians 2, making himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Making himself nothing in the form of a servant. Daniel had heard those words before, but that night something different happened. As the pastor spoke about the humility of Christ, how the King of the universe stepped down into human flesh, into suffering, into a cross, Daniel suddenly realized something he had never seen. Jesus didn't come to shame him. Jesus didn't come to demand perfection. Jesus came low so he could reach someone as low as him. And it hit him like a sunrise breaking over a dark horizon. He whispered to himself, almost in disbelief, "He came for me. He came for me. Not for people like me, not for the world in general, for him." For the first time in his life, Daniel saw Jesus clearly, not as a distant judge, but as the humble king who came to save him from his sins. And in that moment, the guilt he had carried for years began to loosen its grip. He walked out of the sanctuary with tears in his eyes. And he said sometime later, he said, "It was like scales falling from my eyes. Jesus touched my heart." The humble king. The promised Messiah, the suffering servant, the Savior who rides toward the cross to rescue the world, the King who comes to us today. He still comes in humility. He still comes to save, not to condemn. He comes to bear your sin. He comes to carry your burdens. He comes to bring peace where there has been chaos. He still invites the same response. Hosanna, save us now. And he does. The journey to the cross continues. Palm Sunday's not the end. It's the beginning of the final stretch. The King enters his city not to claim a throne, but to embrace a cross. And as Matthew leaves us with the words, this is Jesus. We're invited to behold him once again. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for all of us. We celebrate that today. We think about that today. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.